Welcome to the Compliance Perspectives Podcast. I'm Adam Turtletaub from the Society of Corporate Compliance and Ethics and Healthcare Compliance Association. Joining us today from Beverly, Massachusetts is Meredith Hunt. Meredith is Ethics and Compliance Specialist at LRN. And today we're going to be talking about their 2024 Ethics and Compliance Program Effectiveness Report. Meredith, thanks for joining us. What did the survey highlight as the key factors for having a more effective compliance and ethics program?
Hi, Adam. So thank you for having me, first and foremost. So one of the things I really wanted to mention from the more effective programs that we saw in the report was really values over rules. So people are really embracing that and seeing that in the more effective programs. So you're seeing, you know, this underscoring of ethical culture by reinforcing values instead of just here's rules, you do this, I'm speaking from on high, do this or don't do that, and so forth. So that's a huge one, and we're really seeing an evolution of that over time. We're also seeing, you know, and what we saw reflected in the data was a focus on risk. So really, largely effective programs are really identifying those risks. They're managing them. They're, you know, identify, manage, mitigate, as we like to say, and just making sure that those risks are really focused on and brought out and talked about and really that's the basis of a very effective program.
So you mentioned something that the values over rules things has changed over time, which made me curious. What else has changed over the years that you've seen?
So one thing that I think is still very much in everyone's mind over the last few years is the pandemic, of course, the COVID-19 pandemic. And that had played a very large part in sort of an evolution in the workplace. You know, there's a lot of controversy about return to office, yes, no, who should do it and how often. But really what that affected in terms of a compliance program is really a focus on how folks are actually accessing information. So, you know, people are not necessarily just commuting 5 days a week, going into the office every single day, and sitting at a desk necessarily. A lot of times folks like myself, you know, are working remotely, some 100%, some are traveling a lot more or less, you know, that has fluctuated quite a bit, but really it's how people are actually accessing information. So that has been, you know, a huge shift, and we're certainly seeing a lot more of that. Another thing that has really been kind of a more recent development has been the DOJ's Criminal Fraud Division's Evaluation of Corporate Compliance Programs, or ECCP. So that's really like a very very much the cornerstone of what a compliance program is going to follow. And because that has only been out since, you know, 2017 and continuously updated only a couple of times, actually, in 2020 and 2023, that's something that has really changed. It had such a phenomenal impact on compliance programs as they've evolved around that evolution.
And I think we'll continue to see a change. Now, you, in your report, you differentiate with top programs. What distinguishes them?
So top programs really focus a whole lot on being employee friendly. So again, this kind of falls into the how employees are actually accessing information. Where are your employees? How are they accessing information? How are they looking at things? Are they hybrid? You know, and going into the office once in a while? Are they traveling a lot, going to conferences? Are they on their tablets? Are they on their phones? You know, how is accessing things like codes of conduct or other policies? How are people accessing hotlines? you know, anything kind of tying into your larger ethics and compliance program, making those employee friendly, making, you know, meeting employees where they are. That's something that top programs really understand and respond to. So you are seeing more, for example, you know, web-based codes of conduct, making sure you can access that no matter what device you're using. You're seeing things like just any kind of accessibility improvements, interactive policies, people using apps for things for Compliance Week, for example, training and so forth. And then the other sort of emergence that kind of goes hand in hand with that is this just underlying importance of data. So metrics are being captured and measured, and you know you're seeing how long people are toggling through your code of conduct to focus on harassment, for example, or how often people are accessing a policy, and you know what are the conventional wisdom is what's the training and who's completing it. But really, we're seeing a bigger focus on the importance of really focusing and kind of drilling down to the metrics. And you see top programs focusing a great deal on that.
Interesting. And I want to go back to the point you made about ease of access of the information. I'm on a catch-up day, recorded three podcasts today, and you're the second one that talked about the fact that you need to have the documents easy to find for employees. They don't have to click through too many pages. It's turned out to be a theme for the day. Now, we talked about the research and what it showed that companies do right. Did it show anything wrong, reveal areas where organizations' approaches tend to be off?
Yeah, absolutely. You definitely can see in some of the less effective programs, you know, a real lack of focusing on continuous improvement. And I know it's sort of, you know, something that people throw around. They say continuous improvement, and what does that really mean? But, you know, it's said so often that doesn't even have meaning anymore. But really, it does. You know, compliance is a moving target. I like to say that. I say it a lot. This is definitely something that you don't just check a box and you're done. You need to focus and make sure that you are responding not only to you know, legal challenges that come up and things that offer you know, stiffer penalties and so forth, but in an ethics and compliance program that is very strong, you're reacting in some ways, but also being proactive about improving the program and responding to some of the more nuanced things, such as, you know, a strong tone from the top, for example, because that's another thing that we really see revealed in some of the lesser effective programs, is really that tone sometimes disappears in the middle. So that's, as I like to say, it's sort of a lack of transparency from the very top to the very bottom, because in the middle it gets shifted somehow. And you do see middle managers struggling with some of the lesser effective programs, because there is a disconnect from the top to the bottom of you know, to more entry level positions.
And that gap can be so, so deadly for a program. Now, looking to the future, what should companies be doing now to improve the effectiveness of their compliance and ethics program?
So definitely something that's really, really big is focusing on company culture, you know, ethical culture, and measuring those results. So kind of going back to the importance of having the data and the metrics. And it's important not only to gather that data, but to also act on that data. So that's an important point I wanted to point out there as well. So it's not just about, let's take a survey let's see, you know, where what the temperature check is, what's happening, how people are feeling, but it's also how are we as a company responding to that, whether it's good news or bad. And, you know, I think a lot of times it's tempting to just not do things like surveys or focus groups, because maybe you don't want to have to deal with the reality. But that's definitely something that is really a forward-thinking way of, underscoring that, you know, the company is really focusing on an ethical culture. And how important that is just across the organization. So really focusing on that. Another thing that I see a lot of is the emergence of more employee resource groups, for example. That's another way to focus on culture without kind of having that, kind of scariness, if you will, of having a survey and now what do we do with this data and so forth. So that's another kind of like a little bit of a more of a culture shift, and kind of see getting people to connect in a really lovely way that can be very helpful for an organization. I think another thing too is really to help additionally to tear down the silos across organizations that you see, regardless of the size, is compliance ambassadors. So having that buy-in, that's so powerful, especially when that comes from somebody who's just not even connected to the ethics and compliance department at all, because people just take that and they really see it and they say, oh, you know what? This company really cares about ethics and compliance.
Well, Meredith, thank you so much for sharing these insights with us today. I want to thank all of you for taking the time to listen. I'm Adam Turtletaub from SCCE and HCCA. I hope we're able to expand your compliance perspective.